This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Dr. Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. And I'm here today with Pete Johnson, the board president of the Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism. And Pete has been working on a special issue of the Free Press Express. If you get a chance, see if you can pick it up. And the Free Press Express is dealing with the topic of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And this is the 50th anniversary this year. And Pete, as I understand, people will be gathering in Dallas on November 22nd to commemorate what some suggest was the loss of the American Republic. How are you being received in Dallas?
Well, first, Bob, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Dallas has decided that they want any talk of conspiracies eliminated from the lexicon down there, and have made every effort to silence the critics of the Warren Commission.
So they're not complying with the First Amendment?
No, they've actually roped off the Grassy Knoll area. They've sold tickets to 5,000 people on a strategic basis, which requires a ticket, somebody wanting a ticket to give their Social Security number and their driver's license number so that you can't pass on the ticket to somebody else, and then have managed the 5,000 people that way. But, yeah, they are not allowing Coalition on Political Assassinations to have a moment of silence as they have done for the last 49 years, and not allowing that to happen on the Grassy Knoll at 12:30. So they have said in meetings that are documented that they want to keep conspiracy theorists or crazies off the knoll.
So what is the Coalition on Political Assassinations?
Coalition on Political Assassinations has been around since the earlier mid-90s. They have a conference every year in Dallas, and the best researchers come and speak on the issues and the discoveries. And, of course, there have been a lot of discoveries since the Assassination Records Review Board that was developed in the 90s as a result of the Oliver Stone movie. It was a government entity that required, to the extent that the CIA would release, all documents relating to the Kennedy assassination. But COPA also, works on the Martin Luther King assassination, the Bobby Kennedy assassination, Malcolm X's assassination, and as well as does a event around John Kennedy's American University speech on June 6th, I believe, every year at American University. So,
all right, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. Let me go through some of these points. 10 points of agreement on political assassination, and I take it it's from the Coalition on Political Assassinations.
Yes.
First assertion, we do not believe in conspiracy theories. We research factual evidence of conspiracy in unsolved crimes.
Yeah, the point that we're trying to make is that these are not theories. Conspiracy theory is a term that was created by the CIA to diminish the to be a pejorative term for people that are interested in the assassination and do the work. But we feel like the evidence is clear, and it's based on research of solid evidence, government documents, court cases, that kind of thing. It's not just something that we're pulling out of our ear.
Official investigations were flawed and led to false conclusions. Manipulation of all legal evidence by government officials occurred.
Yeah, with respect to the Warren Commission, you know, the obvious fact is that the Warren Commission itself does not agree with the documents and the investigative files that are not part of the actual Warren Commission, but are public documents. So when you go through the evidence that the Warren Commission was based on, the conclusions do not come from the evidence, basically.
And here's a quote in the paper, quote, "We have not been told the truth about Oswald," end quote. Hale Boggs, Warren Commission member.
Yeah, Hale Boggs and other Warren Commission members had serious reservations about the conclusions that they were coming to. Hale Boggs, in that case, is referring specifically to the fact that that Oswald had deep ties to the intelligence community, particularly the CIA, but also was very likely an FBI informant, had a relationship with the customs agency because of the gun running back and forth from Cuba and what have you. So Oswald had a lot of ties to the intelligence community, but they were all played down by the Warren Commission.
Back in the early 90s, after the movie, of course, by Oliver Stone on JFK, files were released indicating that Oswald, we knew historically he had a 200 file at the CIA, meaning he was a Soviet agent, but it was also released he had a 100 file and a 300 file, which would mean he actually was working for the CIA and was a double agent, pretending to be a Soviet agent, but was really working on behalf of the CIA. Is that well established in fact?
Yeah, that's well established in fact, that the CIA had a defector program in the 60s. Oswald was not the only American serviceman to defect and go to the Soviet Union. And, of course, the Soviet Union was well aware that these people were planted defectors to basically spy on him. John Newman wrote a book called Oswald and the CIA, which is extensively documented on somebody that really understood the inner workings of the CIA and how the documents fit together and put the evidence together. And it's really, there's no doubt that that Oswald's experience behind the Iron Curtain, as they say, was an orchestrated event, you know, done by the CIA.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and I was listening to a station I hardly ever listened to, Clear Channel Station, 610 here in Columbus, and I heard Rush Limbaugh going on and on about how Oswald was a leftist, and with that assassination of Kennedy, these leftists masquerading as liberals, that this was the real agenda, that hardcore Marxists had seized the government by assassinating the president and bringing in these faux liberals that are all real Marxists. I mean, it seemed very odd that that would be an argument, this sort of resurrection of Oswald as this, you know, tool of Marxism. I mean, there's no Cold War going on. What do you make of that?
Right. The CIA spent a lot of effort building a legend for Oswald, not in the year before the assassination, but over many years, probably from the time he was 14. But
and he was in the Civil Air Patrol, is that correct?
He was in the Civil Air Patrol. And they created false events like the fist fight in New Orleans, where Oswald was supposedly representing Fair Play for Cuba Committee.
Which didn't really exist outside of New York City, right?
It didn't exist outside of New York City, and Oswald was the only member in New Orleans. But there was a...
And what building was he operating out of?
He was operating under the Camp Street building, which was also Guy Bannister's office. And Guy Bannister was clearly... involved in gun running to Cuba, ex-CIA working with the FBI. I mean, he was clearly...
Ties to Sam Giancana, perhaps?
Ties to the mob. And, yeah, the whole effort around the Bay of Pigs and around Cuba, you know, was really the focal point was Guy Bannister's office, which is where Oswald was supposedly a leftist working out of.
Well, is it well established that when Nixon speaks of Track 2 and Cuba, that he's really speaking of that very strange activity around the CIA and the Mafia and the Bay of Pigs?
I don't think it can be established for sure what he was thinking of, but there's sure speculation towards that. I thought that I don't remember the term Track 2, but I know he refers a lot to the Bay of Pigs event, and it sounds like he's referring to something bigger than what we historically know.
Yeah, he keeps going back. He kept going back to that in tapes, like it had greatly disturbed him.
Yeah, it seemed like he was always afraid that that something more would come out about the assassination, and so he always referred to it obliquely. But there's no doubt that, and some people think that the Watergate break-in had to do with that, that they were actually looking for files that the Democratic National Committee might have on the Kennedy assassination that they might be planning on releasing.
Third point, improper trials and wrongful convictions were conducted. New evidence that exonerates alleged assassins continues to emerge.
Well, in Oswald's situation, I think it's fair to say that there's not a court in the world that could convict him on the evidence that is in the Warren Commission or the evidence that's out there in the world, period. There's a great book on that called Impossible, The Case Against Lee Harvey Oswald, that goes into the actual ballistics, the autopsy evidence, the way the sniper's nest looked at the time of the assassination, and 5 minutes later and 15 minutes later, boxes and stuff's being moved around. Really goes into really incredibly detail on the primary evidence, and it's just not possible that they could have convicted Oswald on that. Same is basically true of James Earl Ray and Sirhan Sirhan.
So. Now, do you think they really had planned on convicting him? Isn't there speculation that it was clear he was to be shot and killed?
Yeah, the murder of Policeman Tippett is really a murky area that the Dallas police just never investigated at all after the day of the assassination. But some think that Tippett was supposed to kill Oswald, and Oswald killed him first. But it's way more murky than that. But certainly,
is it well established that Oswald did that killing?
No, it is not well established at all. Most of the evidence leads to two people being there, one of them a stocky guy. The whole that scene of the assassination was just blocks from Jack Ruby's apartment. There's just all kinds of murkiness involved there.
And we're talking about improper trials. Ruby was never brought to trial, right? And what was he even brought? He was never brought to Washington either. I mean, what did he just stay in a jail in Dallas?
Yeah, Ruby was kind of stuck in jail. He asked to go to ask Earl Warren if he could go testify in Washington, and Earl Warren ignored him. But he also claimed that he was being injected with cancer in the jail. And, of course, as his court date approached, his cancer accelerated and he died before he had a trial.
And there is some evidence that it is possible, right, to transfer cancer cells?
Yes, the CIA was working on that long before 1963. And obviously, anybody having doubts of that, you just have to think of the experiments we do for cancer in rats and animals. Obviously, we know how to create cancer in an animal to then work on cancer research, so there's no reason to think why it would be difficult to create cancer in a human being, especially when you have access by direct injection.
Great point. A lot of times people will think that's bizarre conspiracy, but we inject rats and mice with cancer all the time.
Sure.
Quote, it's the most bizarre conspiracy in the history of the world. It'll come out at a future date, Jack Ruby.
Yeah, Jack Ruby was at that time asking Earl Warren to take him back to Washington to tell what he knew, and he knew a lot, but nobody wanted to hear him. But Jack Ruby was connected, first of all, with Oswald. It's clear that they knew each other, and both knew David Ferry. Both knew several other people involved. So there was a long outstanding relationship between Oswald, Jack Ruby, and David Ferry and others.
You're listening to WCRS. This is The Other Side of the News. I'm Bob Fitrakis. You're listening at 98.3 and 102.1. I'm speaking here with Pete Johnson, the president of the Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism, the board president, and he has edited a special issue of the Free Press Express for the 50th anniversary of the upcoming death assassination of JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. When we look at all of this evidence, some suggested that perhaps Ruby had been a bagman for the mob and was connected to Sam Giancana as well.
Absolutely was. And so I think when the event happened, and the CIA wanted to, first they wanted to use it as a justification to invade Cuba, and certain members of Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to use it as a justification to do a first nuclear strike on Soviet Union. But LBJ, to his credit, if he deserves any credit at all for anything, refused those two efforts, and so he basically wanted them to go with the second scenario, which is Oswald's a nut lone gunman that didn't know anything about anybody. Then when that fell through, basically, when Americans started not to believe that, then they went to the mafia did it. There's plenty of reasons to believe that the mafia couldn't have done this by themselves, but the main reason is that the mafia couldn't have done the cover-up. And there's been
mafia appears to be involved in some way, but your point is well taken. I mean, this was covered up at, looks like, a fairly high level, and the mafia didn't have those types of connections at that level of government.
Right, and particularly there was a general in charge of the autopsy that made sure that they didn't dissect the neck and that they moved the back wounds and a lot of other things weird about the autopsy. But that certainly had to be orchestrated at the highest levels of government, not by the mob.
10 points of agreement on political assassination pertaining to what you just said. 4, obstruction of justice and official cover-up by government manipulation and control of evidence and investigations occurred. And the mob didn't have that reach.
Right. And, boy, I could talk for an hour on the autopsy, the fake autopsy of Kennedy, the fact that the x-rays and photographs in the National Archives purported to be from the autopsy itself are forged and faked and replaced and destroyed. But a better example is the RFK assassination, where there was 12 to 14 shots fired in that room. Sirhan had
which is now apparently well established even in mainstream circles like CNN. I saw CNN with their great revelation. I'm thinking that was reported by skeptics, almost right after the assassination. But it's real clear now that they've cleaned up the acoustics that there were at least two gunmen in the assassination of Robert Kennedy.
Yes. Two gunmen, way too many shots, and the kill shot came from an inch and a half behind his right ear, which is nowhere near.
Which is what the coroner said early on in L.A. County, did he not?
Right. Thomas Noguchi. And basically almost lost his job over that, had to fight like heck to keep his job. But, the kill shot did not come from Sirhan's gun, that's for sure.
5, a pattern of unusual deaths marked each assassination. Violent murders, false suicides, and threats to witnesses occurred. Give me some examples in the JFK scenario.
Well, Richard Belzer's new book, and I'm sorry, don't recall the title, but it lists 50 of them. Dorothy Kilgallen was a journalist at the time. She said she had the information to break the story wide open. She had interviewed Jack Ruby and Jack Ruby's roommate, etc. And she ended up dead, supposedly, of a drug alcohol overdose. There was all kinds of things wrong with that scenario. But there's many more. Lee Bowers was on the radio tower looking closest to the grassy knoll. William Whaley was a cab driver that supposedly took Oswald out of downtown back to Oak Cliff. It just goes on and on. The numbers on that are, just out of this world as far as the likelihood that this many people could die untimely, violent deaths. Is just, I don't have the numbers, but well off the charts.
Point six, evidence of civilian and military intelligence agency involvement in various agencies, involvement in both the crime and the cover-up exist. What would be a point there?
Well, in the Kennedy assassination, there's all kinds of people that were in Dallas at the time that had intelligence background. There was also the Umbrella Man who was standing there pumping an umbrella up and down that most people think was a signal to the shooters that, okay, he's dead, you can quit shooting now, or he's not dead and, you know, we got a problem. So there's a lot of things. There's a better documentation, for instance, in Martin Luther King that the Army...
wasn't it a Delta Force?
Yeah, Delta Force or MIG, Military Intelligence Force, but they had snipers posted on the watchtowers, and that's well established through official documents that the military had a huge presence in Memphis that day around that assassination.
Seven, there are unindicted suspects and accessories after the fact. Like who? And getting back, was Johnson in Dallas? Was Nixon in Dallas that day or around that time?
Johnson was in the motorcade, of course. Nixon was in Dallas speaking to a Pepsi conference. I think he claims to have left in the morning, so he wasn't there during the assassination. There's Russ Baker points to some pretty excellent evidence that George Bush was in Dallas.
Sort of a who's who of future presidents.
Exactly.
This question, do we know for sure whether LBJ, as the History Channel suggested, met with right-wing oilmen?
I'm going to attribute this to Russ Baker, although I could be wrong, but some people think that supposed meeting that was a who's who of everybody rich and famous in Dallas, mm-hmm. including the oil men, never really happened. There's a lot of the serious researchers basically discount that meeting ever happened, mm-hmm. or at least that the people supposedly in that meeting
were there.
Were not. They probably weren't.
It almost seems too good to be true.
Exactly.
You'd wrap it up in a package and a nice little bow and blame it on LBJ.
Right. And I think after the CIA decided they can't really blame the mafia anymore, now they're focused, they want to switch it to LBJ did it. And there's a new book by Roger Stone claiming that LBJ did it. I haven't read it yet, but I think that's just another way of pointing away from the CIA, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the National Security State that actually did do it.
Point eight, a pattern exists of political assassination as a tool of the state. It has been used as state repression and control of foreign policy. I know the CIA did a lot of studies on assassination, sort of almost the shock doctrine before there was a shock doctrine, is that what would happen if heads of state were assassinated? How would the people react?
Right. I mean, Chile was a prime example of a CIA assassination and basically presenting or installing a right-wing government.
Pinochet.
That was just brutal. Guatemala, same thing. Iran, same thing.
Overthrowing the Arbenz government and putting in Armas in 54.
Right.
9, legitimate questions remain unanswered. Open cases, closed files.
Well, one example is one of the best mainstream journalists to report on the Kennedy assassination is Jefferson Morley, and he's been working for years to try to get the CIA to release 1,000 documents on John Ioannidis. John Ioannidis, nobody knew who he was in 1963, but evidently he was the CIA man in charge of the cover-up, and he was appointed to be the liaison to the House Select Committee on Assassinations in 1979, and was rewarded handsomely for his work there. But when he was the liaison between the CIA and the House Select Committee on Assassinations, nobody knew, you know, that he had had a previous involvement in the assassination. So there's 1,000 documents at least on his career that we would love to get our hands on, but they are being withheld as national security, for national security reasons, whatever that means.
Finally, number 10. This is a point from, again, the Coalition of Political Assassinations. The claims of justice and history must be satisfied. What's that mean?
Well, it means that the American people are destined to live in a world written by George Orwell or something, unless at some point we can force our government to come clean and say, you know, yeah, we did these things. I mean, the people that did them believed in them. They believed that Kennedy was turning towards peace, that he was soft on communism, that our absolute way of life was going to be destroyed by a liberal who was willing to not fight the Cold War and not fight the Vietnam War. And so they killed him. And at some point, that ought to become public knowledge and be accepted as part of our history.
What about that famous photo and reports of Bobby Kennedy punching the pillar there and confronting LBJ, saying, you know, why did you kill my brother? Happened or not?
I don't know that happened. I'm not convinced of that.
Or is it part of sort of a story to make it look like LBJ? Is it safe to say we don't know ultimately what happened, because essentially the assassination may represent the rise of post-constitutional America, the death of the republic, and the rise of the surveillance state, the national security state that we live under? And we had the recent revelations with the NSA concerning that surveillance.
I definitely think that's true. And the best book in the last 30 years, and a lot of people agree with this, is Jim Douglas's JFK and the Unspeakable. And basically
why?
He points to the, he just points to the fact, not who shot him and the mechanics of the shooting and where, you know, where the bullets came from, but the motive and the fact that Kennedy had alienated the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff over his unwillingness to fight Vietnam, and the CIA by firing Alan Dulles, who ended up serving on the Warren Commission, and Richard Bissell. But he also, Hoover hated him, LBJ hated him, the Federal Reserve was leery of him, Texas oil men hated him. I mean, Kennedy had enemies everywhere, and including some of his closest aides, who then refused to speak out after this happened.
So if you had to recommend one book, it would be JFK and the Unspeakable by James Douglas?
Yes. Not only me, but I think a lot of other serious researchers would also recommend that as a place to start.
And in this last minute, what else, Pete Johnson, would you like to tell the listeners quickly?
Well, we're going to be in Dallas passing out this broadsheet, compliments of the Free Press, and we think that they want to silence us, and we're just not going to be silenced. Passing out a newspaper is free press, First Amendment protected right. We don't think that they can arrest us pre to keep us from passing it out, and we think it's our right to be heard on this issue.
November 22nd to 24th, Dallas, Texas, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. Check out the new Free Press Express on the Kennedy assassination. Thanks.